up on the end.
Power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio, which is heard in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And if you have family members and friends in those areas, let them know that the broadcast is on right now. Many of you received an email. We send out thousands of them each week to remind people to tune in. And of course, those who are on our e-list will also get an email this afternoon with the rebroadcast so you can share it with family and friends as well. Also, before I go to our panel, I want to remind you about what's on the front page of American Workers Radio. And that is, first of all, when you go on, you'll see our distinguished panel members, Larkin Conley, the small business advocate, and of course, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And by the way, right next to Mark Andel's picture, there is the Made in America store link. I'm encouraging you to go to his store, support his efforts. As you know, what's going on in America has not been very pleasant for many of our businesses, and Mark will make sure that the products he has available, which are 100% American-made, certified as American-made, they'll ship them out to you, and you'll be very pleased to have them for yourself or to give them to a family member or friend. Also, Mark has a radio show, and right under his emblem, you'll see Made in America Radio Show, and you can hear Mark's show. He's also trying to do a lot in his broadcast area, as well as on the internet, to make sure that people are more and more together with our message. I also want to say a very big thank you at this time to all of the weekend broadcasters that repeat my weekly commentary. They do a great job. We send it out to them. I sometimes go on their various broadcasts. They repeat the commentary that you can find on the front page of American Workers Radio. And what they do is use that during their public service time to get people together. This is what it's all about. We have to be the positive message people here in the USA. Also, with all the information that's going on with the election and everything else, none of us can predict or tell you how to vote, but we can ask you to be registered to vote so that on election day, you're ready to go and there's no aggravation whatsoever for you. Also, you can click on that site. It will go to all of the various states, cities. You just put in your zip code and it'll go right to your registration office. It's a very, very important way. One more thing is AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Mike Sessions is always doing a great job to help us promote the campaign. And Mike, thank you for all that you are doing, because this is what it's all about. There's nobody collecting any money or anything like this. This is a movement to get the American people. And there are more and more Americans who are interested in our message. As you see, there's a lot of things going on in this country, and it's not really the way you and I would find it to be normal, nor do we want that type of nonsense going on and putting out all that money for police and all the other stuff that's necessary, barricades and all the nonsense that's needed to stop these protesters. I really don't know exactly what these people want. One more thing before I go to our distinguished panel members, Mark Andel, Larkin Conley, Rich Logis. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. I thank you for tuning into all of the broadcasts here. We are on every day of the week. I'm here with you on Wednesday and Saturday. And also a thanks to Curtis Ellis, who is out promoting the America First Project. And I want to thank Curtis. We spoke at length yesterday, and he's doing a very good job to get the people together who are interested in supporting America First. Well, working together for a positive outcome is the most important thing that I can ask all of you to do. Each of us sees clearly that it's going to take longer than we expected. Any of us expected to return to a level of normalcy here in the United States after experiencing the spread of the coronavirus that originated in China. I do say that I don't hear that much in most of the news media, but that's where it originated from. And I think that people in China, once it started, should have let us know about it. Foreign countries have been much more open with their people by informing them exactly where the virus came from. And also, they closed their borders to countries like China and unfortunately now even to America. The European Union closed the borders to Americans until things change and until things so that there's no discrimination, that people from this side of the ocean or whatever are coming, they just close the borders to Americans. The American people, as all of us know, we all experience viruses over the years, many viruses, the flu virus, all this. I didn't hear much about the flu this year because everything is being counted as the coronavirus. However, the coronavirus has been historic, and it will now take Americans working together to bring America back to a pre-coronavirus environment and as well as an economy. It's going to take time for this to happen. But our difficulties came to us in November and still continue. It's really, really discouraging. It's not a nice thing for especially the young people to have to go into malls and to various parks and all and see everybody with masks and all. It's something that is very difficult. And I feel, and I speak with many people in the healthcare industry, they tell me that this is not a job for politicians. It is a job for the healthcare industry of the world. When this happened, the healthcare industry of the world should have immediately rose up and said, wow, this is moving. In China, it moved to another country because today people are traveling back and forth, unbelievable. So the virus was spreading. And now that it went to all countries of the world, people are just closing their borders and they are saying, we can't do this anymore. But today, I now want to turn for some words of wisdom to the ever-popular Rich Logis. Rich, what's going on? And tell us what your opinion is of everything.
Well, thanks for giving me the floor first. I'm unworthy, but sorry I missed you guys last week. I'm happy to be back. I was at my kids' school, which is supposed to be starting, Mark, next month, and I'm a believer in preemptive action rather than reactive, so I went just to let everybody know that I was going to be the crazy dad at all the meetings so they know exactly what to expect when the school year begins. It's like when Patton would be on that open tank, Michael, he'd have a shiny helmet. The enemy could see it a mile away, and the troops would ask him, General, why do you wear that helmet? The enemy can see you coming a mile away. He'd step off the Jeep, and the general would tell the men, you sons of blanks, I want them to know I'm coming. Now, he wouldn't tell you how, Michael, but he said, I want them to know that I'm coming. That's a level of confidence that rarely a human being, a member of the Homo sapiens species, ever reaches. So we were there, and as I promised to my wife before we had children, if you think I'm nuts now, just wait until we have kids. And my wife has discovered that I'm a man of my word. So I have a quick story, Michael, that I want to tell everyone. I met last evening, just on happenstance, just a random occurrence. Although, you know, maybe, Larkin, it wasn't random. Maybe in a way we were supposed to meet. I met a 90-year-old veteran, Michael. a World War II veteran. And here is the discussion we had, the gist of it. He said to me, the first time I ever met him, Michael, he said to me, Rich, I fought in World War II. I fought in the Korean War. I watched presidents get assassinated. I watched other presidents attempt to get assassinated. I watched other wars. I watched 9/11. I saw polio. I saw the measles. I saw this and I saw that. And right now I see people younger than half my age acting like hysterical, crazy, out of their mind people. That's what he said to me, Mark. Now I didn't ask him. I really didn't ask him a lot about his life and his bio, but when he was telling me this, and I was listening, Michael, and the reason I was really enraptured by it all is because this veteran, this man who served our country in multiple wars, he didn't give me any of his opinions. He was just stating what happened, the actual facts and the evidence. And in the week off, Michael, that I've had, missing you guys, I had a James Joycean epiphany. And that epiphany was that everyone's opinions, including myself, my own, everyone's opinions are useless, worthless, and irrelevant. Nothing in the adult world matters except numbers, math, laws, contracts, science, data, and evidence, Michael. That's it. That's all that matters in the adult world. So every time you hear someone talk about anything, ask yourselves two questions. First, am I getting this person's worthless, useless, irrelevant opinion? And number two, am I learning anything? And that was a discussion, Michael, I had with this gentleman last night. And I'm happy to report, Mark, that he is on board for re-election. So that was my little epiphany, Michael. So I don't want anyone to take offense at the statement that everyone's opinions are useless, worthless, and irrelevant, because mine are as well, Michael. And the reason they're worthless, useless, and irrelevant is because everyone has one. And anything that everybody has is usually of little to no worth and value. Give me data, evidence, science, math, and numbers, not useless opinions, if you want me to listen. So that's my opening rant for the day, Michael.
But I will tell you, that is, I'm so pleased that you spoke to somebody who has experienced so many experiences. I mean, the thing is that we have our leaders in this country for not just 10, 20, or 30 years have been worrying about putting more and more laws on the books, more and more restrictions on the books, getting more and more taxes so that it almost invited countries to go around the world. But they haven't really been paying attention to the American people. And that's the saddest part of it. When I look and I talk to...
And Michael, a society, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt, a society comprised of tens of millions of adult-aged members of the Homo sapiens species who think, act, and behave like children, live in a world where they're enraptured by their opinions. Opinions don't pay the bills. Outcomes do.
That's exactly right.
Mark, when you were struggling, when you went to the banks, did they sit down and say, Mark, you're a good man, you're a nice man, tell me your august, erudite opinions about the world at large?
Never.
They never asked for your worthless opinion ever? Again, don't take offense. My opinion's worthless also. They never asked you that question ever?
Show me the paperwork, that's all they ask.
Remember, in the movie Jerry Maguire, it was show me the money, not show me the opinions.
That's right. That's exactly. Oh, Rich, that's worth it.
Show me the money. Money equals numbers and math, not show me the opinions. I went on a rant yesterday with our great audio engineer. A swing voter in a swing state, we're going to earn his vote. We're under 100 days to Election Day. We're going to earn it. And I said when the band gets a, you know, whatever the equivalent of a record deal today, they're not going to sit down and say, tell me your august, erudite, worldly opinions about the world at large. They're not going to ask that because they don't care. All they care about is how many records
and downloads did you sell? How much money did you make? How many tickets did you sell? How many video views did you get, right? Larkin goes and sits down with small businesses. When Larkin would sit down with the small businesses and ask their business plans, when they gave Larkin a bunch of useless opinions, Larkin said, you don't have a business plan.
Boy, Richard, you are so, oh my God, Richard, you're on the roll today. And it's true. You know what? America's businesses were forced to scale down and close during the last 4 months with no plan, no instructions, no information given to those businesses how they were going to do things. Everybody was on their own. They were the commanders in chiefs. We now have 140,000 people died, and that was because many of the people had, you know, pre-existing conditions and things like that. We have so many people infected. And by the way, every person in the United States is going to have to be infected in order for them to have the antibodies to fight off the virus. So they keep reporting the cases, never report the recoveries, and they tell you about the deaths. Some of the people who are in the field say, this is totally out of order. During the last few months, 30 million businesses registered in the United States were put through such stress and strain. None of them will ever forget this, especially those that are making, selling, distributing the products that you and I are purchasing on a regular basis at the limited amount of stores that were open mainly during the first 3 months. Those people had to go through hell to get their product on the market. The majority of the 30 million businesses in the United States, by the way, they are small businesses. A lot are sole proprietors. Most of America's businesses have been really severely hurt, very severely hurt, and it's going to take months and if not years to get this thing moving back to a pre-coronavirus economy. It's going to be very, very, very difficult. And that's what everybody tells me wherever I go. I say, how's business? They say, well, let me tell you, we're allowed to eat outside in front of our restaurant. We can put up a few tables and people are expected to come and sit in 90-degree heat and enjoy a sandwich. I'm not allowed to put umbrellas up, but they can come and sit in the sun and have a sandwich and maybe an iced tea. It's all not good for America. Just not good. Rich, you've been the fountain of information and wildness as always. Thank you for your endless, endless wild word. Henry's across from me laughing. He's saying, boy, that guy was a wild man today. I hear someone laughing. Mark Andel, tell us what's happening in your area of the world, and when do you think this thing is going to get back to normal?
Oh, boy, you know, first, you know, I hope you're doing well, Mike and Henry and Larkin, I think, is on, and Rich, outstanding opening. You know, when you talk to these veterans, I've had the honor to do that for 10 years with the Made in America store, and you learn to listen, Rich. You know, they start talking, and, boy, if they want to talk, you listen, and you learn a ton from these World War II veterans, the Korean, Vietnam. I've met women that were in Vietnam I never knew. You know, it's just beautiful. But hearing them stories, and they dealt with so much through their life. But you do listen, Rich. It does change you. It shows you why you don't kneel for that flag. You know, talking to these men and women that have been through so, so much. So I'm glad with the Made in America story. It was one of my highest honor talking to these heroes. Mike, it's, you know, week 19 of the China 19 crisis, you know, and I do hold China responsible. They could have made a lot of different changes. You know, it's been a tough 19 weeks, a lot of change. We had to adjust daily, you know, reinvent yourself. And we're holding in there. I've got a great team, not a good team. And we keep adjusting because things have changed. But like you said, how many bankruptcies, Mike? I want, you know, our team to do a research on that since, you know, in these 19 weeks of tough times, how many bankruptcies. They came up with another law up here. If you have a restaurant bar, you can't get a drink at a bar unless you order food. Well, you know, of course, the business person, Larkin, would love it, got into it, got creative, and said, okay, I'll have four French fries and a beer for a dollar. I'll have a peanut or two for a dollar, because you've got to make that dollar. And they're coming up with these ways. Well, the governor came up with this great idea to hurt the restaurants a little more, but you can go to Walmart and have all the people you want together. These little things, though, that are just taking businesses out, and, you know, you can't, you know, these businesses and the bankruptcies going on and the way they're marketing this disease, it's just, if they come up with another shutdown as they are, I mean, most, you know, the restaurants and certain businesses are absolutely going to have to close. I got a question for the audience. You know, the $600 ends this week, I believe Friday. You know, should it continue? I've got people that won't come back to work that I have jobs for. And then there's probably people that need it. But I think that's a big question right now. Should a federal $600 still be granted? Because I think a lot of people are taking advantage of it because there are jobs out there. So, Mike, a lot going on. The
Mark?
Media, I think, is really...
Hey, Mark.
You know, we need facts.
Mark,
yes.
I got a question for Mark.
Sure.
I thought that that was illegal to do that. I thought that if you had an opportunity to go back to work, you had to do that. You couldn't just keep collecting.
Yeah, so, Henry, great question. We were told that, but COVID is like this magic word now. You can get out. So we tried to open a store, you know, two Wednesdays ago. My manager lady said, nope, we're in. We got this. It was a mall store. And then the next day she said, no, I quit. And her whole team quit. So there was five of them. So we sent out a letter to them, a registered letter, and put that they quit on the unemployment, you know, request. But most of them are overridden because of COVID, because they can claim this or that, or I don't feel safe. So COVID seems to be overriding. So the answer to your question, in normal times, no. You know, if you've
Michael,
got a job for them, they can come back.
I'm coming down with some COVID over here.
Absolutely.
Are you feeling that
there
COVID?
You go, Michael. All of a sudden we'll sound bad and, you know, Henry's gone.
You know,
just leave beer there, Mike. You'll keep them.
But I want to tell you something. The coronavirus originated in China. We can't blame the Chinese people, but we certainly can blame the Chinese Communist government for hiding the fact that the pandemic started there back in October and in November. In fact, it was on November the 17th that an article was written telling the people of China, other areas of China, to be on alert because the virus from Wuhan may be traveling to other areas of China. However, today, with all the people getting on planes at that time anyways, getting on planes and going to Europe, you know, bringing it to Europe and then Europeans bringing it to America, you mean to tell me our health experts did not know what was going on? Let me tell you something about Europe. Some of the European countries closed their borders in December, shut them down. In fact, right now, there is no one allowed in the European Union from China and, in fact, from America. They don't allow even the American people to come until everything is fine. You can travel from country to country in the European Union, but you cannot go back and forth, which is really hurting the airline industry, the travel industry. However, health experts heard about this back in November, just like all of us did. And everybody said, well, it's not going to be so serious. No, don't worry. The health experts are really the people who should have put up the red flag and say, look, everybody be prepared. The Spanish flu, which was called the Spanish flu, was 102 years ago. Actually, it was in 1918. That flu brought about the same type of situation where people had to stay home, people were wearing masks, but everybody knew. I mean, it took down an enormous amount of millions of people, but everyone knew, and those were hard days of communication 102 years ago. And here in this day and age, with computerization, people watching everything on the internet, I don't agree that the healthcare experts did not know more and could not have shared immediately in November with the whole world. Be on alert. whether it's to wear masks or whatever else. This virus from China has hurt Americans, our businesses, and I feel it should be discussed openly, and that China should be held responsibly. Because we lost trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. We had to give out trillions of dollars in stimulus money to the people. How long can something like this go on? In a year from now, we're going to look at the debt clock and see so many trillions of dollars that we're in the hole for, and yet China is holding trillions and trillions of our loans. We borrow money from China to operate different things in America. Something's got to give. This went on for 35 years. It has to stop. It just has to stop. And a man who... Yes.
Was the COVID-19, was it created or found in China?
That's a very good question.
Why are they not... let's dig into this.
We didn't hear the results. They said it started in a lab. Then it started in the markets. Nobody knows anything. You need to tell me, in all these days, 19 weeks, we don't have an answer. It's destroyed our economy. It's destroyed our people's confidence to go places and enjoy themselves.
It's changed our way of life, Mike.
It
I was
has.
At a casino over the past weekend up in New York here, and you're wearing a mask. You get shot for temperature with a little gun, and then you get an infrared camera taking a picture. You get on the elevator. They take it again. You bring it down. You can't order room service. They got to leave it by the door. There's no coffee makers. Your TV remote's covered in plastic. You wear a mask. You sit at the bar in a casino. Nobody's there. They can serve you coffee or a pop. Every other machine's gone in blocks of machine. One-third of the machines were open. Just a different life. I mean, is that where we want to be?
But, I would like to see, not Dr. Fauci all by himself, I'd like to see every state have their people addressing the people from Washington. Take a trip to Washington and have a conference. How are we going to end this? How are we going to make things for the children to go back to school safely? Everybody goes back to school. This mix and match, it's going to be devastating.
And Mike, why are the drugs that work like hydrochloroquine, why are they banned? Nobody's ever seen any of that. Why, if a drug that's 60 years old and could help outpatients or doctors, why are they banned and not you can't use them?
Well, Mark, that's a very good question, and
I think it would be nice to see on
C-SPAN or something. This could be held with no problem whatsoever. 2-3 hours a day, each one of these health experts from each state to speak what they're doing in their state, how their hospitals are acting and reacting. This is what should be done. And a man who knows a lot of acting and reacting, Larkin Connolly. What's going on, Guy?
Well, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Richie Rich, man. It's always good to have you back. And I know that when you miss a week or two, you come back with inflated guignons or something. I don't know. You really let it rip, and I always appreciate it. And Henry, as Mark says, thanks for making us sound good. It's an impossible task on many occasions, but you still try it. I wanted to talk briefly about the $600. I have two personal friends, long time.
Let me have it, Larkin.
Personal friends. They told me that they're in both cases sons were not working, because they were making more money staying at home than they would make if they went to work. And I said, how does that work? And he said, I don't know. Nobody's asking any questions about it. You just collect the money and go about your business.
Absolutely.
And I said, I didn't in either case. I have to admit, I didn't, because of the relationship I have with both of them. They sounded so proud of their boys that they were smart enough to figure this out.
Larkin, how long is it going to last?
Oh, the $600 is up. Mnuchin's on the Hill today, and they're talking about making it somewhere in the range of 200 to 300, re-upping it, but making it in the range of 200 to 300, so that it really does help supplement unemployment, but it doesn't, you know, replace good wages. So the Democrats obviously are very much against that, and the Republicans are pushing to have Mnuchin's.
And Larson, you feel my pain as an owner that has jobs waiting.
Oh, my Lord.
People not coming back, especially the part-timers, Larkin, that made $100 a week. Now they're making $100 plus $600.
Yeah, it's just...
That's for part-timers. People don't realize that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think what they don't realize is the $30 trillion national debt that they're creating. I can't even imagine. We've never faced it. It's never been this big. And I mean, not only in size, but in comparison to our national product, our gross national product, it's just overtaken the country. And I, quite frankly, am amazed that not one single politician talks about it. And I mean, no one says a word about the national debt. It's like, well, whatever, it'll go away someday. Or,
oh, boy, I want to know how it will go away. Larkin, do you have the magic wand to do it? Because otherwise, I'm looking at the debt clock right now, and it says that every citizen of the United States would have to put up
$80,442.
Holy 80 citizens
wow, 80,
to pay down this debt.
I remember the one that was 60.
I remember.
Now, I don't have the answer. I will tell you this. The answer is clear cut. So to that degree, I might have an element of the answer, but you find yourself in this situation, whether you're running a business, running a household, running a church, running a nonprofit, when you've got four times as much debt as you do gross national, you do two things. You stop spending,
right,
and you work out a repayment program so that it doesn't gain ground anymore. All we're doing now is paying the interest. That's all we're paying now. Every month we pay the interest down a little bit just to keep it from growing. But yeah, it's a pretty weak way to do that. I wanted to mention one other thing that was brought up, I have very mixed emotions about COVID-19. But my wife has currently been talked out of retirement, which I think is one of the biggest mistakes, and she'll admit it, to help her hospital chain that she's worked for quite a while to release COVID patients who are well. And here's the word. They're getting better faster than ever before. There's nobody staying in there 4 months. They're coming out of there in 4 days, 6 days, 8 days maximum. So the recovery rate is much better than the ever-present and so brilliant bunch of geniuses over at CNN, who say it's just growing. The governor said today, in ER beds, we have like 12 or 14,000 available. And in just regular hospital beds throughout the state, we have like 22,000 beds available. So the idea that we're closing hospitals that don't have beds is also a piece of CNN bullhunk.
Well, you know, Larkin, as you say that, it brings a question to my mind. Why don't we have a report every day on C-SPAN or CNN from each of the governors telling us facts, how many cases they had, how many recoveries, and how many deaths? I think that should be also something that should be done. It shouldn't just be announced by C-SPAN or any all these CNNs and whatever, Fox. It should be the governors. They are really running these states. They know what is going on, and they can dispel a lot of the rumors that have scared the hell out of everybody.
Yes.
And when guys looks over its shoulder and sees things getting better, they come up with headlines like they came up with last night. Two out of three of the network's lead report was, we were probably wrong 6 months ago by almost 10 times.
Well, Larkin, as I said, I'm working in human services for a long time. I will tell you this. I've been through so many flu seasons with people, and this is the first year I have not heard the regular flu announced. And every year we have in America alone, 60 to 80,000 deaths, pneumonia and all, you know, piled in as a result of the flu season. What happened to those people this year? They're just thrown on the corona. And this thing has to be identified sooner or later, because we have too many health professionals out there saying what you're saying. They're saying it's not as bad. Some say it is very bad. We have to do this and that. I want to hear the experts speaking at least 8 hours a day from each state. Let each state's people know that at 12 o'clock, you'll hear from Pennsylvania, and at 12:30, you'll hear from New Jersey, and at 1 o'clock, from New York, whatever. This way, people will know really from the horse's mouth what's going on.
Well, I think that's already happening. It's just that if you don't like coronavirus and you don't like the current administration, then you report bad numbers. Whether they're right or not, you report bad numbers because they came from this expert person. So I don't know. You know what? My next-door neighbor, I love the old guy. He's a philosophy teacher, retired philosophy teacher at Flagler University. And he said to me the other day, Mr. Crowley, when are they going to, why don't we move up the election? Because the sooner we have this damn election, the quicker the coronavirus will go away.
Hey, Larkin, I got to tell you what I heard when the Amish were interviewed. You know what they asked him, you know, why don't the Amish have the COVID-19? He said, because we don't have TV.
Oh, my God, I love that. Oh, that's...
Yeah, but Mark, and to this point, Michael, and Larkin, what Larkin's pointing out, and Mark, your comment, the reason that senior citizens weren't afraid to leave their home during, let's say, the most recent flu outbreak, which was a year ago, the reason that they weren't afraid to leave their homes is because they didn't have the press 24/7, Mark, and telling them that they're going to die. That's why. And I mean, again, Michael, the press isn't about informing me or you or Mark or our great audio engineer, swing voter in a swing state, anyone out there. Mike Sessions listens, supports the show. The press isn't about educating. It's about their worthless, useless, irrelevant opinions. And the press,
you know,
and as a, right, Mark? I mean, it's, think about
Rich,
how many
with
senior
respect,
citizens
yeah,
ever
with respect
didn't
to
leave their
disease,
home?
Disease. You've got to respect the disease, but still, I think they talked about herd immunity way back when. We said if we hold everybody in and let them out, these things are going to happen with these surges.
Absolutely.
And I'm not, Michael, everything in the conversation.
And as I said earlier, everyone is going to have to get this virus so they can build up antibodies. And
but how did it help it? But Michael,
just the
we
way
have,
you get your flu shot every year,
but Michael,
that helps you
day,
build up your antibodies. And this is
very
what,
early. Very early on, the scientists, the doctors, et cetera, said, yes, senior citizens, they're susceptible. Senior citizens, Michael, are susceptible in any disease. This wasn't some novel scientific discovery, right, especially those with pre-existing conditions. What I'm asking is, how many senior citizens do you guys know who never left their home because of the flu? Name one.
Right.
I'm waiting. Name one. And because they weren't told every day that they were going to die. What kind of a press, Larkin, what kind of a press spends their resources to frighten grandma and grandpa 24/7 into believing that they are going to die? What kind of press does that? Michael, the press is the only business, the only industry in America that is constitutionally protected. James Madison didn't write the text of the First Amendment to protect CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and Washington Post from scaring grandma and grandpa to death. That is not what the protection constitutionally was created. It was a protected industry so the press could hold the government accountable. That's why there is a protection on the industry. Does anyone think that our press today is meeting that requirement, that standard, Michael?
No.
No.
Okay.
If it isn't, again, not an opinion, the facts are that if they're not adhering to the protections that were originally intended for, that means that all of our rights constitutionally are also being abridged and infringed upon. If science wasn't deceased before COVID, it is now. And like the veteran last night told me, Michael, people younger than half his age, it's not that they're being precautious and taking precautions, is that they are acting like hysterical children. And these are grown, adult, educated people, Michael. Science? No. We can't handle science because science is full of evidence, data, numbers, and math. We're not a society that revels in that. We revel in worthless and useless and irrelevant opinions. That's what we revel in. I'm sorry to say, but that's the fact, Michael. So now the tyranny of the hysterical majority is right now winning, Mark. The tyranny of the hysterical majority. Remember when you guys had your kids and they were small and they were 3 and 4 and had a temper tantrum? 40-year-olds are doing that today.
Yeah. When you see them in a car with a mask alone, I wonder, you know.
You know, I have to tell you this.
Here's where the press got confused. The press is out not looking for an answer to the question. They're looking for a question to the answer that they want. That's what's happened.
Very good. Yeah.
They clearly have a political bent, and it's really too bad. Because whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a political bent to their side, but at some particular point, that political opinion, and you want to voice a political opinion, knock yourself out. But the entire time you are talking about political opinion, the word opinion, you either on the opinion page of the newspaper or the words flashing in front of your face as you do when you're talking. You need to be identified as, and people don't understand. And you hear them all the time come out of CNN going, that was the commentator's opinion. Well, why wasn't it labeled as such? They don't do that. They just throw it out there, and people who, quite frankly, don't have the strength of the press, I don't know how to put it more politely, say, we're all going to die. We're probably not going to see 2025. And you say, who told you that? CNN.
A priest told me, huh? We're going to die, we're going to pay taxes, and there's going to be change in your life.
You
told me and my daughter. Yeah.
But, I have to tell you this, Mark. This is very interesting because a lot of people that tell me they panic about this COVID-19 and all, I say, look, I feel that everyone is born And on the day of their birth, they're given an expiration date. And no, you can't do anything about it because God wants you back home on that particular date. How you die, where you die, is up to God. And if you believe that, you will be a happy person and just take life and things the way you like them to be. And don't worry about, you know, if you were going to get very ill, you were meant to get very ill. Because you are the age that you are, you're meant to be here. Your expiration time has not come yet. I want to bring attention to one thing, which is very interesting, and it will, you know, add to our, because American workers have been slaughtered through this coronavirus. There is a page, if anyone is on the internet, you can check out. Go to United States COVID-19 cases by state and deaths by state. For the record, since March the 13th, in this country we have 325 million people. To date, we have 3,819 people that are cases. At this time, right now, on this Wednesday, in the United States, we have of 325 million people, 140,000 deaths. On this day, we can say that of every 100,000 people, we have 1,001 people who are afflicted with the COVID. Now, if we look back at the flu statistics over the years, it's very much, you know, similar. Maybe there's more through this COVID, a lot more, say 30% more from the COVID, because it's a much more serious situation than the general flu. But we're not talking about 20% of the population dying. We're talking about 1% of the population affected.
Yeah. Not even dying. Yeah, it's just the infected.
And 140,000 actual deaths accounted to COVID in the United States, divide that into 325 million, and you will then see what percentage that comes out to. So we ruined our economy for 4 months. There's really been no solution. All the state health directors, secretaries of health, should have been on this from day one. Teachers should have known immediately what to do. They should have been masking. They should have been doing what they did during the Spanish flu in 1918, not closing the schools, but seeing if the schools could stay open and would that change the statistics that we are seeing today. If it did, then closing the schools is the most important thing that you can do. But those who passed, I believe, would pass if it was through the flu, pneumonia, or others, and coronavirus maybe added another 25% or another, say, 30,000 people to the loss list as a result of the virus. A virus, any virus that takes over ill people, elderly, and people that have all kinds of pre-existing conditions. These are the people, unfortunately, that have passed. Many of them were forlorn, and many of them in New York were stored in mass graves or buried in mass graves because no one even claimed the bodies. They were homeless people and things like this. This is a very unfortunate thing with no results to date. To date, when I call and ask for results, they say, well, go to the coronavirus tracker, go to Google, and it'll come right up. I just did. Pennsylvania is doing well, very well, with their coronavirus. They're in the green phase now, and they did the shutdown, as most of the places did nationally, and Pennsylvania is doing quite well. Could we open more things and be more realistic? Yes. But
and Mike, I'd like to shift back to that $600 deal because it's so important to me. Here I'm in malls with my stores, and we can only operate at 50%. We can't get workers back. They want me to sign a lease for $40,000 for 12 months, and I don't know what's going to happen next month. So the $600, give people an idea in the audience. If you made $200 as a part-time worker, you're going to bring in $800 because the $600, that's 300% more than what you've made. So, Larkin, a question, why can't you, whatever their W-2 says, whatever they make for the year, why aren't you 10, 20% less than that? Why give people 300% more?
Right. And this is going to be short-lived, very short-lived. Because
but it's killing the culture, it's killing the work ethic.
Everything.
It's just to find another nail in the coffin for businesses.
And by the way, the United States Park Service is over 104 years old in Philadelphia, welcoming tourists for 104 years without interruption until this year. It has been closed since March the 13th and is not expected to open soon. It's the first time people are not coming to the Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, or any of the other places. Everything is closed, locked shut, and they don't know exactly when it'll change.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a second very unfortunate situation, which affects American workers as well. All of the bus industries, the bus drivers,
like wiped
the people.
Out. I mean, all
totally wiped out.
Wiped out.
All of the restaurants that would bring those buses in and have the people enjoying themselves, it's all gone. I speak to the people in the historic park, and they tell me there's no interest whatsoever. Mm. We're all going to lose our shirt. People have been so terrified by the virus, and I do then ask them the magic question. Do you feel informed about how this can end? And they say, no. And that's my argument with the health officials. This is not something that should be left to the politicians.
Because
politicians,
Michael,
come and go.
How much information is there in you're going to die? You're every day, 24/7. You're going to die.
Yeah, I don't watch it that often. So,
hey, did you see that last night? You're going to die. Hey, how is that bar mitzvah? You're going to die. Hey, what time's the early bird special end? You're going to die. That's all they hear, Michael.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
right. I'm not trying to, and I know you're not doing this, so let me just be clear. I'm not trying to statisticize, is that a word? I'm not trying to statisticize people dying, Michael. I am not doing that. I'm not sitting here saying, well, there's the data, there's no human element, et cetera, et cetera. No. The vast majority of those who have, it's in the 70s and 80s across most states, are senior citizens above the age of 65, Michael. Two-thirds of all the COVID deaths have occurred in 10 states. And where they've been more concentrated are in places like Philadelphia, in places like Detroit. Why? Because those are the overpopulated, overcrowded areas of the country, Michael, are the big cities. And the science is such, we have to make our determinations on the science. The science is such that unfortunately a virus feeds where there are lots of people. This is everything that's called science. Again, your opinion is irrelevant.
Right. Right.
It doesn't matter what you think. No one cares what anyone thinks. That's useless. What's the science tell us? And Michael, I'm going to tell you this. I actually do think the health officials mostly did know once they figured out a little bit what was going on. But they didn't go to the country and say, okay, adult-aged America, educated, grown-up America, here's what actually is happening. We're going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. What's happening is that we have this virus. We're figuring it out. We know seniors are susceptible. We're working diligently to figure this out. However, understand that with a virus, the way viruses work is that unfortunately, once they're out and about, people are going to be more susceptible, and it's going to happen where people are going to get infected. That's what's going to happen. We're going to deal with our best we can with that's the science, Michael. That's what it actually was. But did we hear that? No. And then the question is, why didn't we?
You're right.
Okay, but why didn't we? Because we're enraptured in our useless opinions, so we can get everybody afraid and have a bunch of a bunch of yentas who have never worked a day in their life, Larkin, whose life aspiration is to co-host The View, come to a school board meeting and say, "You killed my Abba and my son." That's called hysteria.
Yeah.
That's called temper tantrum. I don't want temper tantrums, hysteria, and useless opinions, Larkin. I want science, data, math, contracts, evidence. That's what I want.
Yep. Rich, the one, number one.
That's the way the adult business. World works, Michael. That's how the adult world works. That's the world I and all of you guys inhabit, not the world of hysterical temper tantrums from 45-year-olds who look like they're 3 years old.
Well said. You know, Rich, that's why I am a tough bird. Working in human services, I have to be sometimes very brutal with people.
Michael, I want to tell you, I sent Larkin something. Larkin, if you didn't see it, I'll resend it to you. Our governor was in Miami late last week or earlier this week. He was there giving a press conference. There were people outside the lobby banging on the window like I remember I went to the Everglades a few years ago and I watched an alligator hunting and I watched alligators crawl over their young so they could get some fresh red raw meat. Larkin, these were adult-aged grown-up men and women, members of the Homo sapiens species, who were banging and screaming and yelling on a glass door like uncaged hungry animals at the zoo during feeding time. And you're going to tell me that I'm supposed to live under what they think?
Well, I think that this program today is a historic broadcast because we spoke about common sense issues. Common sense, as Mark said for many years, common sense isn't that common anymore. And he asked people to buy American, to do what they can. In fact, I'm going to try to really promote more and more as our stores start to open up. I'm going to ask every one of the people to go out because America's consumers can really help increase America's manufacturing industries and our base of employment. As we close off our broadcast today, I want to say a special thank you to Larkin Conley and Rich Logis, Mark Andel. Thank you, and I spoke to Curtis yesterday from Curtis Ellis, from our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Bliash. Please go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Register to vote. Check on Mark Andel's site. Look at Rich Logis. Click on his picture and go to his podcast. Click on Larkin Conley's picture, and you'll know all about these great people. Until we get together again next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Stay well, stay happy, and of course, God bless you and God bless America. Have a great one, everyone.
Yeah, you too, guys. And my daughter, Jessie, finally graduated, Mike.
We've been having some graduations lately, too, in this area. God bless to all of you. Stay well.
Thanks, everyone.